Turned it up. Hey there, Fish and Frank here, and Robert in the chair across from me. We got Danny, one of our reps here, and this is one of those shows where you get to meet the people or hear from the people we buy tackle from. And the object behind these is, you know, what goes on. I mean, we buy from about 80 different sources to get our tackles and supplies and work everything out. And one of the things we do in like our tent sale, which is coming up March 24th in 2018, and Danny's one of the guys who comes to the tent sale, and just wanted you to get to know them the way we know them, find out who they are, what they're like, and who you're buying your stuff from, because it's not just us at Fish and Frank's, me and Robert and the whole gang, the pirate crew. It's the people we buy from. So that's what this show is supposed to be about, so you get to an idea of what goes on. I guess the first question is, who are you, sir, and what products do you have?
Hey, this is Danny. Thanks for having me, Frank, Robert. And I am with the Don Coffee Company. We have represented Shimano for a long, long time. Shimano owns the Brodix, G Loomis, and Power Pro. So those are the items that I'm in here mostly talking to Frank about.
And, you know, how long have you been in the business?
Well, I want to kind of give up my age now. You can probably tell from the voice. But back in the early 90s, 1990, middle of the year or so, I befriended the owner of the rep group. And we started doing some pro staff work for him then. I was noticed I carried Shimano on my boat. I was an offshore guy out of the east coast of Florida. Did some promotional work, and one thing led to another. One of the gentlemen quit, and I... they offered me a job, and I've been here off and on. I'll explain that later if time dictates. But like I said, off and on since 1990, I've been working with Don Coffee and Shimano.
Yeah, well, I've known you literally since you started in the business. We've been friends a long time. And, you know, this area of Florida hasn't always had your presence. Other areas have. But we're glad you're here. And, you know, I do ads and talk about different products, and when we're talking about it, we're pretty blunt about what we say. And
that's an understatement.
That's an understatement, exactly. Now, one of the reasons we're back and you're here in the store is because, in my opinion, Shimano has stepped up and kind of gone back to the old ways when Toyo ran the company, where they're looking to give consumers more value for the money, a stronger, better product, rather than, you know, and I'm sorry to tell you, in my opinion, for a few years, they decreased the quality and increased the price. And they did not increase the price, but they have increased the quality. We've seen that dramatically step up on their stuff.
Well, part of that, I really do believe, we, several years ago, Shimano opened a warehouse in the Charleston market, and in the last several years, we have gradually and now completely moved the entire sales operation to the East Coast.
Well, you got out of La La Land. That helped. I mean, there's a whole... I would say three quarters of California are the greatest people that ever lived. But there's a few cities over there where they got some real whack jobs.
I'm not going to disagree. I'm not going to argue that. But
they got a unique view of the world. But coming back over and getting into the southern southeast, I think maybe that helped their attitude. But anyway, to go back to the line of questioning here, I just wanted to let people know, yes, I back on with Shimano, and Danny is one of the reasons. He's been a tremendous help to the store and is helping us take care of our customers. What started you in the tackle business? You kind of touched on that, but you were what, a fishing guide?
I was. I had a charter captain's license. I was one of those guys that most of the guides hate that would charter on the weekends. I had a real job, and but I did a lot of dolphin wahoo fishing off the east coast of Florida down in the Keys, and really got into bottom fishing and just absolutely loved it. And so that's really my favorite. I'd rather catch red snapper than anything in the world. Body doesn't take it like it used to with the back and the knees and everything else that I have over the years. But I started off in the offshore world, and I owned an offshore center console, 24-foot Grady White. That was my baby for 25 years. That thing threw three sets of engines, and it's been all over the Caribbean. And and that's how I got started, really, in the fishing tackle world.
All right. Now, I guess the next thing that I would ask is, now, once you got into the business of fishing, you know, because there's a difference when you're a captain or when you're a customer, and, you know, when you're just out there and you're just buying tackle and stuff. But being a charter boat captain really isn't in the fishing business. In the fishing business is in the bait shop, the rep groups, the manufacturers. Is there a difference of what you thought it was going to be to what it actually turned out to be?
There is. There really is. You know, before, when I represented the manufacturer and I wasn't actually in the sales side, just going out doing promotions, I virtually only thought there was two factories in the world, Shimano, up and coming, and Penn, that was established. And as you find out dealing with tackle stores, there's a lot of different personalities, dealing with factories. You've got products that sometimes you hit a home run with and sometimes you don't. And you got to kind of learn how to work through all that. And dealing with the personalities, like I'm sitting across from right now,
I'm one of the worst. I always say, when it comes to fishing, Frank, in the business, there's an F in front of Frank, but it's not often fishing. But more or less, I think we all get something in our head when we're looking to go on to a job.
I know where you're going. I just did the Florida Sportsman Show up in Tampa a couple weeks ago, and I had no less than 5 people talk to me about wanting to get into the business and wanting to hand me their resume or wanting to the number for our HR person to send their resume in. And first thing I do is chuckle. Or I'll have a gentleman now, I won't mention where or when, where or anything, but he's a retired aerospace engineer, sold his company for a lot of money, and just loves fishing. He's going to open up a tackle store. And the first question I asked him was, what the heck are you thinking? You know, it's got to be a labor of love. It obviously is for you. You know, despite your reputation, you obviously are have a passion for the business.
I have a passion for my customers.
Yeah,
the business and the what goes on behind the scenes. I could get out of the fishing business tomorrow if I knew how I could stay in contact with my customers and still deal with everybody and have fun with the teaching and the aspects and everything. I would love to get out of this cutthroat, mean, nasty business of fishing. Yeah. Because the only good part about the fishing business is I get to deal with you and Robert and I here and the customers that come through the door. But there's nothing good about the fishing industry.
Oh, no. I agree with you.
Customers make every bit of it.
Yeah, we're lucky. Our customers are great because we own a toy store. So the people that come in here, they're happy, they're friendly. We get to talk. We have a great time. You get to, you know, do stuff. But if it wasn't for that, this would be a business I wouldn't touch this with a 10-foot pole.
Oh, I completely agree with you. I didn't cover it earlier, but back in the late 90s, my dad had some health issues, and I needed to stay closer to home. So I left the company. I opened up a tackle store in Orlando from 1995 to 2000, and had fun. And my employees, every once in a while, you need to have a bad day, and I'd gather my employees together, and I'd go, guys, everybody that walks through the door that comes in this store wants to be here. They have come in here. So what are you guys in a bad mood for? You should be happy. They're coming in here to spend money that they happily want to spend. They didn't come in here to complain.
They're not fixing their toilet. They're not feeding their family. This is a toy store. It's a fun store. My employees love the customers because when there's no customers in the store, I have to revert back to boss, clean the tanks, sweep the floor, dust the product, put stuff up. I mean, there's 1,000 jobs that have to be done. But as soon as somebody walks in the door, I don't know if you guys noticed, but they really want to talk to them because they get to talk fishing, get paid the exact same as they do for scrubbing the floor.
Well, the other thing that you get too, I know you hire a lot of experienced guides in here, but none of us can know everything. I learned something about fishing from my customers every single day because some of these guys, they're not captains or anything else. They're weekend warriors or they don't even get to go out that much, but some of them have a specific technique or more importantly, a special spot that they might give up, you know, that you can learn from them when they come in. So it's fun to interact with the customers at the store level.
I tell customers all the time because they tell me I'm the professional, and I tell them I'm not a professional. I'm a little better than average, but most professionals that I have met over my lifetime quit learning. And I'm getting taught new stuff all the time or remembering stuff.
Amen.
On a regular basis. So, I mean, it's really refreshing to have that.
Okay, I got a question for you. Now that you're in the fishing business, do you miss going fishing?
I honestly have to say, there's days I do. If I drive over the Skyway Bridge, I live up in the Apollo Beach area, and I'm back and forth on the Skyway quite a bit to go into the thing. And I see a nice calm day, and I can sometimes you can even see the snook on some of those flats around there. And those are the days I'll miss it. And
but I would say that's the biggest fantasy about getting into fishing business is once you're in it, you think you go fishing all the time, and you really – I think fish less than people in most other businesses.
Oh heck yeah. I fish a lot less than I did. When I worked for my father for quite a few years right after I got out of college, and I can fish any weekend I wanted to. Now I can. I've got a promotion tomorrow up in the Tampa area, the weekend after that is there another one. I mean,
promoting the fishing business. We're working in the fishing business, but we don't get to spend near as much time.
We've got to live vicariously through everybody else.
Yeah, I've been actually getting out, going some fishing here lately, and I'm really enjoying getting back to it. Here's a question. You have all these different products, and there's just a bunch of them, and you don't have to go on the spot with this, but I would like you to if you would. What is your favorite product? It could be the line, it could be it can be anything. It doesn't have to be anything in particular. We had Ray from Alliance on the last show, and he shocked me with his answer. I was just befuddled, and it was not at all what I thought it was going to be. What would be your favorite product out of everything you carry?
Out of everything.
And for any reason.
Out of everything we carry.
It doesn't have to be a good seller, bad seller. Yeah. What do you like?
I mean, just, you know, from a selling standpoint, the spinning reels, because we just quality. But from a personal,
certain product, not a class of product.
Yeah,
one item.
Yeah, one item that I really, really, really like is just our Stratic reels. It's been
Is this the standard or the CI4?
This the standard Stratic reel.
Okay.
I still have a couple with the old wood teak handles on.
I found one in my shed the other day.
Yeah, they don't get used very much, but it's a favorite to me because that on the saltwater side and the Corrado on the freshwater side and the TLD on the offshore side are really kind of where Shimano made their bones. You know, they were the ones that put them on the. Remember, Shimano hasn't been around that long.
That goes back to the Toyo days when Toyo owned the company and Toyo Shimano and. Mm-hmm. One of the biggest innovators in the tackle industry, 1986, comes up with the cross-wrap spools, comes up with the Aero system, which is now the standard of the industry. I mean, everybody is trying to compete with that. They actually came up the clutch cap, drag cap under Toyo. They were making innovation after innovation, and at that point, nobody could touch Shimano. Best quality, best price, best reels for the money, and they took. You know, we won't go into all that, but I got to tell you, at one point, like you say, the white Stratic with the wood handle, I found one in my shed. I put it up. I'm saving it.
Yeah, I don't. The two I've got, they don't get out on the water. So
my Aero rod got broken in Irma. I had one left. It broke.
The old kind of reddish, maroonish rod with the gold guides.
Tennessee handle and the gold guides.
Yeah.
A guy just brought me in four of them. He said, "Here, Frank, I don't know what to do with these old rods." And I'm looking at him and go, "Oh my God, that's an Aero. I lost my last one."
Yeah, so, I remember the old Aero rods. We had Beastmaster rods. So that was my first trolling rods.
The whip rods.
Yep.
Remember those?
And then the bull whips.
Yeah,
yep.
Bull whips.
Yep. So
yeah, that's amazing.
We're showing our age.
Yeah, I don't mind. Robert's constantly reminding me lately how old I am.
Yeah,
opened the door for that.
Yep.
You heard him earlier, right?
Oh, I know, and he said it wasn't the first time this week that he's made mention of your advancing age.
Now, what?
Nice.
What? Yeah, he's really, you know, I think he's going for promotion. When you're sitting there, do you get involved in with what's coming out new? Do you have input on whether products make it or not make it?
They do solicit our input a little bit. We've got a my boss Spencer Marchant has a background in rod building, so particularly in the rod end of things. over the years, we've had a lot of input, and we've got two really active guides down here. I know Danny Latham is one of your customers, and Danny Absolutely. Has been very instrumental in like the development of the Saragossa reel that's very popular in the tarp, particularly during tarpon season, and some of the rods over the years, and on the Loomis side with Danny in particular. He was very good. He's very close with the people that run Loomis. But individual reps. I'm not a techie guy. When you're showing one of the customers, because Frank does a phenomenal job of talking to customers about rod actions and powers and all the different things and what would be applicable for what they want to go fishing for, and that kind of stuff. I've never really I don't get into it quite as deeply. But we got some people in our company that do, and Shimano's really been very good about taking input.
One thing is, how long does it take when someone conceives of an idea? How long do you think it is before someone actually gets to buy it?
Gosh, it can be 3 and 4 years before somebody. I think in some of the bait casting reels, we've been a little quicker. We've decided, oh man, we got a better way to make this mousetrap, and it happens a little quicker. But on the rod end of things, it's a slow process, and on a brand new series of reels, it's a slow process. And then occasionally we'll get something real quick, but it'll be a model that's out in Japan. We'll tweak it, rename it, bring it over here, and it's not that far. Well, it doesn't take that long.
Which, and a lot of people don't realize that there are a lot of models overseas that aren't available here, because, I mean, you guys make a plethora of reels here, but you only have one bait runner here. But overseas, you have three different ones.
Yeah, I think we've got actually two, you know, between the bait runner and the Tunnus, we've got two bait runner style models here. But yeah, that's an example. Twin Power, we just introduced the inshore versions of in the spring, and last year the offshore versions.
Wasn't
of.
That an Australian-based reel?
That's, I think it's either Australian or Japanese, one of the two.
Right.
Have you seen, if you go on the Shimano Australia website, the clothing they've got over there is phenomenal. It's some pretty cool stuff, you know, kind of bikey. I'm almost surprised that we don't have it here, because Shimano owns Pearl Izumi, the biking clothing company, and obviously they're big in, you know, the components business in the bike industry.
Well, that's what allows you guys to make such light parts, such strong gearing, and a lot of your cold forged gearing, because you guys have that technology from the bicycle gear side of it.
Yeah, it's a natural. Think about it. A reel is, you know, just a little bit more complicated than a derailleur on a bicycle, you know?
Right.
Well,
less complicated, I should say.
So, now, one of the things about that, I think that's where a lot of the cost of a product comes in, because it really isn't that much more expensive to produce a high-end reel and a low-end reel in the scheme of things. It's not that much more money. Material-wise, you get into a little bit. But I think one of the biggest parts, in my opinion, and this is the question, is a lot of the reel cost, because of the research, development, and experimentation, how much money it takes to make that reel come to life, the tooling and all that kind of stuff, more so than the actual what it takes to manufacture it?
I really do. The tooling in particular, because when you're making something, if we come out with a high-end product, you know, a state-of-the-art type of fishing reel, starting from scratch with the tooling. You can't tweak a, you know, Stradic mold or any of that kind of thing to do it. And, you know, I've never been to the factory. I've been to the Loomis factory, which is kind of cool, but on the real side, I've never seen an actual, been to the factory in Japan or in Malaysia. But, yeah, there's tooling involved. And there are, you know, you put more expensive bearings. You're putting more expensive material in the handles and things like that. But I think, for the most part, you're accurate. There's a lot of money involved in the tooling and the research and development that contributes to the higher price of a reel. That's a good question, actually, because I'm going to, next time I talk to one of the Shimano guys that's kind of into the reel design, I'm going to ask him, you know, what on material cost? What's the difference between a Stella and a, you know, something
a Sienna?
Than, yeah,
you know, you've got a Sienna and you've got the Stella, and okay, they're both reels. You know, they, yeah. You know, come off a line, whatever. You know, and I've just assumed that had to be a big part of the cost, because the research and development on some of these, even the materials and all that, has to take a lot of time, and those guys are expensive.
Oh yeah, you pay it. I mean, these are engineers. Shimano, and I won't mention the other factory because I don't want to plug them if I don't have to, but Shimano is one of the only companies where we do all of the design ourselves. We don't draw this on up on a sheet of paper and put it out for bid. We design these reels ourselves. We have engineers, full-blown mechanical engineers that graduated from accredited universities that come up with this stuff, you know? And so you're paying all those people. And then you're, you know, there's just dozens and probably hundreds of sets of hands that go into to playing with it. Playing's probably not the right word.
But, it is, because that's what we got to do. If you don't play with something, how do you know what to do with it?
And then just little stuff. I mean, think about what it costs to take. If you get a new reel, you get like a new reel that's a nearshore, offshore reel, and you send it down to, Robert and I have a conversation a little while ago about Costa Rica and the different things down there. You send that reel down there to really test it in an environment like Costa Rica or someplace like that. There's just tens of thousands of dollars associated just to try a reel out, you know? And that's all, you know, so.
So and you're not going to do
that.
Right.
Yeah, you're not going to do that on an FX reel.
No.
You know, you're not going to, you know, you're going to worry about when you come out with a state of the art, you know, just the leading reel at a certain price point, you're going to
Speaking of that, you have a new reel coming out?
We just the sustains just started shipping. Introduced at ICAST.
Right.
And we also redesigned the Sedona at ICAST. The Sustain won an award for best saltwater reel. Our new Corrado K, is we name
the one you guys were talking
the one
about.
In between the Sustain and the Stella.
Oh, there's an Essence. Yes, it's a very
that's the one I'm talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, it's a it is a finesse reel, very shallow spools. It's for a guy that's fishing 5, 8, 10 pound braid, you know, Power Pro. So it's a very popular style of fishing in Japan, and more people are coming over here. Robert said something earlier about the all the reels we make
that's
in other countries.
That's one I'd like to try. One I would like to try. I've been getting rods and reels from different companies, testing them out while I'm doing my articles and writing about them. Yeah. That's one I'm interested in because I like that kind of fishing. I'm going back to doing a lot of mono with the 4 pound, 6 pound mono and stuff like that. And I'm still fishing braid, but I'm getting way more fish in my mono stuff. Yeah. But I'm really interested. What's the name of it again?
Essence.
Essence. Yeah. I'm very, very interested I would really like to
even though I'm being recorded, I'll see about getting you one there to give it a try.
Whether I pay for it or you give it to me, whatever. But I'm just saying that's one I'm really interested in trying. Really wasn't a ploy for a free reel.
No, I know.
You have to admit that's one thing about me. I don't ask for free stuff.
Do you have available, like, can people look up on YouTube to see some of the product testing, like how you do some of that stuff?
I don't think, I've never seen anything on, like, product testing. So when we came out with Wax Wings, we've got some how to use it video, or when Talica first came out, or the Billfish concept reel, which is a big sailfish or big sailfish white marlin reel.
Right.
There's some videos on there about technically how to use it. And I've seen a video, I don't know if it was for public consumption or not, that somebody did on Beastmaster, which is our direct deep drop electric.
Right.
But as far as how a reel is designed and everything else, no. But that's something I'll run up the flagpole for sure. Well, I'd love to see it. I love the behind the scenes.
Well, yeah, and some people, you know, you like to see, like, do you submerge it in salt water? Do you spray it with salt water for weeks on end? Do you expose it to ultraviolet lights so people could kind of relay that in their mind to say, hey, this thing's really been beat up in every manner possible, and that's why this thing is holding up so well.
Yeah.
You know, so I was just curious about that.
Now, this is a question you're allowed to plead the fifth on. Okay. Do you know or have any reasoning behind why they would cancel or redesign products, especially some that are very, very popular?
The FG.
Say that again.
Do you know why they would either cancel or redesign a product, especially one that's very popular? This is a complaint I get from all the time about every manufacturer, nothing specifically to do with Shimano, Power Pro, or whatever, but all of a sudden they get something and could be a reel or lure or whatever, but all of a sudden they're going along and then all of a sudden it's gone. Well, or it's redesigned and completely different.
There's two reasons in my mind. One of them is a real reason and the other one is a reason that I is my opinion.
Okay.
The real reason is that, I mean, Shimano, with this data-driven world we're in, they look at numbers. I've got an example. I don't mind sharing it, but our small Spheros reels are 3,000 and 4,000 size Spheros. Very, very popular in the state of Florida.
Right.
Look at national numbers, nothing. So we got rid of them, never replaced them, specifically replaced them.
Right.
And then we just have the larger Spheros now. Now, my opinion, too, is that Shimano, being an engineering-driven company, when it doesn't matter if it's the most popular reel we have, like the old Corrado, you know, the original Corrado, right, and all the iterations we've had of it since then, or the Stratic. They're always looking to make it a little bit better. And they want to give a consumer an excuse to go buy a new one. I've got the Stratics with wood handles.
But now, that comes to something. I haven't asked this of anybody else on the show before. Mm-hmm. Have they ever thought about bringing out a limited run of the wood-handled Stratic?
You know, I'm gonna run that up the flagpole. Do you remember years ago when we did the Cigar Box Calcutta?
Yes.
And they did. They did a limited run of those. You can find them now on eBay for a significant amount of money. But it was the same thing. The Calcutta at the time, that was back when round reels were a lot bigger portion of the marketplace than they are now.
That was an amazing reel.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, it was.
And we had That was pretty successful, particularly, you know, just from a collector
but
standpoint.
But the one that started it all, that really started the cross-wrap revolution, because they had the arrows, they didn't catch on, they were before their time.
Yep.
They were some of the best reels ever made. The arrow rods, it was a complete revolution in fishing tackle that nobody ever knew about, because it came out in the late 80s, and I had them, I was trying to sell them, but nobody would do it because it was so radically different. Mm-hmm. But the Stratic, in my opinion, the wood-handled white Stratic, was the one that changed fishing. Yeah. That was the two, some of the biggest innovations ever was when 64, when Daiwa invented the skirted spool. Penn came out with the SS, skirted spool. It's not super sport, that's right. Skirted spool. That was a revolution in fishing, because they went from the Z series and all those, you know, Mitchell 300 styles to the skirted spool. Well, the white-handled Stratic was every bit as revolutionary. Dual oscillation, spool goes out one speed, back a slightly different speed, cross wraps, clutch cap drag, the whole bit. But it took hold of the world. That's one I would like to see a limited run.
That's an interesting idea. I'm gonna run that up the flagpole. That would be kind of fun.
I mean, I've been here 20 years, and guys are still talking about it. Yeah. I have guys that still bring them in every now and then on one of their rods that they're getting a new tip put on or something like that. And it's like, and I look at that reel and I'm like, just one of the best reels ever made.
We're sitting here in Port Charlotte, Florida. How far are we from the water?
20 miles from the beach.
Yeah. Well, we're about a little less than a quarter mile from the water.
But I'd say, 95% of your business is saltwater?
No, actually, it's more about 80. We do about 20% freshwater, 80% saltwater. Out of that, let's say 80% take off about 30. So 60% inshore, 30% offshore, 20% freshwater.
Do you realize that for years, if not a decade or more, the Stratic was listed in the freshwater section of the Shimano catalogs?
Yep.
And I go to any boat ramp on any weekend for 20 years. In fact, it was easier to spot them years ago with the wood handle.
Right.
You could see how many of those reels survived and thrived in the saltwater environment.
Right. We always thought that where we were. And we're looking in the Shimano book going, what's wrong with you, Shimano?
We lobbied for years on the website when they first started, websites became popular. You know, get that thing off, you know, get that, just put spinning reel. Let people decide whether what it's capable of doing.
Now, this is a question kind of along the lines. We're talking about designing and redesigning, canceling and bringing back and all that. What does Shimano, when they're making something, have, and I hate to say environmentally friendly because I'm not really an eco-nut.
It's a California company. What do you think?
Yeah. Is there thinking in there to make them more fish-friendly in some aspects?
You know, as far as, like I said, it's a California-based company. We're in Irvine, California. It's the main office. And
we forgive you.
It's in Orange County. It's not quite as bad.
I'm just teasing. I mean, my heart goes out to Napa Valley and all the farmers. They're some of the greatest people in the world. Amazing folks. And my heart just bleeds for them to think about losing everything in a matter of seconds. I went through and my house was destroyed in a matter of hours, but afterwards we could pick up the soggy wet stuff except for my fishing tackle collection, which I never saw again. Some of it just blew away. I have no idea where it went. But to come back to ashes, man, California, we love you. You were on your side, at least you guys. Yeah. Some of California, we don't care. There could be a break off and nobody would notice.
But because of the environment, environment in California, it's a very, very, very environmentally sensitive company. I mean, if recycled boxes, and I should probably know more about it than I do for people that do have questions like that. But yeah, I would be willing to bet that we're as environmentally conscious as any other major fishing tackle manufacturer.
Okay. Is there now, you're bringing out this reel that we've been talking about. Mm-hmm. Anything coming up on the horizon that you can talk about?
I'm not specifically aware of anything in generalities, though. We tend to have a lot of product introductions in January.
Okay.
Used to be we would introduce things just in July for the big tackle show, the ICAST show. And now we've turned, because of the way our business model is, with the way we sell some things, there's a lot of shows in January that people can come see. The northeast part of the country, tons of consumer shows. So it's a great opportunity to reintroduce.
You're
going to
be here for March 24th,
heck,
right?
Heck yeah. Okay. If I'm still invited after if I don't say anything bad today.
You can say anything bad you want. I've never uninvited somebody for disagreeing or arguing with them. The thing, one of my passions in life is spirited arguments. I love arguing and discussing with people and going over the stuff, what they believe, what I believe. I think that's the flavor of life. We have the other show that we're going to be doing June 30th. We hope you'll attend.
Okay.
And that is a
new product showcase.
Yes,
kind of deal.
New product showcase, a preview of ICAST. And so people will be able to come and... if you've got some time, November 16th, 17th, 18th, and 19th, if you can come down any one of the 4 days, we're going to be at the Fort Myers Boat Show, and come down, we'll run some specials on whatever you're there for, and just have a good time. That's at the big boat show in Fort Myers.
Yeah, I think I came down last year. Yeah. Spent a couple of days down there.
And it's just that Fort Myers Boat Show is a lot of fun, and it's a tremendous amount of people, and the boats, there kind of takes so long to get back and forth. But,
now, did you move locations this year?
We were supposed to, but now we don't know where we're going to be. I went down and did a whole layout with him on thing, and now he said it all changed.
Okay, so, well, the reason I brought it up is I don't want, if your listeners are used to coming down there and going to one spot and then you're not there.
We have no idea where we're going to be.
Gotcha.
And this is
they've been
this
doing
kind of
so
normal.
Much construction down there too the last 2 years. People are understanding that the place is growing large. the boat show is growing bigger and bigger. Plus, the construction has changed some of the parking and the walking and stuff like that. It's made actually some more walking areas and more park-friendly areas for people. So,
and they're building a brand new hotel in place of the convention center, and that's really screwing everything
up.
It's
all new for everybody down there this year. It'll be basically a brand new boat show, but larger.
It's going to be bigger than ever. It's already more than sold out. He's having to get more space. Now, speaking of this, do you think... going to these shows, the consumer events like our tent sale and hopefully our new product showcase, or Fort Myers Boat Show or whatever, do you think they're important to the industry?
I do. I there's parts of this country, the Northeast I mentioned earlier in the wintertime, they don't have anything else to do up there, so they have consumer shows. Very well attended, great opportunity to get your new products out there in front of the consumers. When I did your tent sale last year, The people that come through, they want to talk about the products. They want to ask me. I had lots and lots of conversations with people about whether I should buy a regular Stratic or a CI4 Stratic. You know, I had a question about, you know, some of the offshore reels that we, you know, didn't have here to sell, but they had questions about them. I won't get those questions, you know, if I'm not out doing promotions like that.
I can tell you, one of the things I'm most proud of is our customers. I would say, you know, I have many things to be embarrassed, but I have many things to be proud about in my life. And literally, as far as my professional life, I am most proud of my customers. They're amazing people. They ask great questions. They get involved. They want to know. They want to learn. And they want you to help them decide. They've got an idea what they want to do, but they're really looking for answers. And I am so proud of them. They are just... It's astounding to me how cool these people are.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I mean, yep. I know it sounds ridiculous, but it's true. And you've met them. You've come to the tent sale. And isn't it astounding, the questions and how involved they get?
Yep, it is. And you got every manufacturer there, so it's all in one place. You know, there's very few anglers that own... That own everything they own Shimano, or everything they own Penn, or everything they own Daiwa, so they're able to.
I'm gonna say you're probably not as on with that. I think there's a lot more people very brand loyal, and I'm the least brand loyal person in the world because I'm always looking for what do you have with your product line. I love this reel. Don't care about that one. Don't like that one. Love this one, and I have the same thing with every manufacturer, but you and I have been in this business a long time, and you see companies come to the top, make some kind of fatal error, slide down, and then build their way back up. And every 3 or 4 years, it's a different kind of top of the heap, and you've got some that are always consistent, but you get these spikes from one or the other. Right. And then they always do something stupid.
And they... but no different than my life.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Hit that right on the head.
What do you see looking into the future for as far as the fishing tackle business? Think it's better, worse, internet, independent, box store? What are you looking towards the future?
Two things. One, and I know my bosses and all the... management from Shimano and most of the major manufacturers just spent a couple days at the American Sport Fishing Association Summit over in St. Pete. We have got to get kids off their cell phones. We got to get kids off their iPads and their devices and get them out and fish. And I know there's a big initiative in a lot of areas to get children out fishing and get them to do just outdoor in general. So that's, to me, that's step one, is we got to get future generations fishing. I have never... And I can, you know, they warn you, don't use the word always and never. I have never taken a kid fishing where we caught a few things that they didn't fall in love with it. It just happens. So getting kids fishing is step one.
Okay.
And, or it was, as first answer, half of the answer to your question. The second thing you asked me about, the tackle stores like yours, tackle stores like exist in the Tampa market, exist in the Jacksonville market, things like that, that have inventory and a passionate staff, are going to do fine. They have a continuing, you know, there's ups and downs. We get a hurricane, you know, you're going to lose business for a while. You know, you have a different, you know, things, we get red tide, affects business for a little while. But the stores that have inventory in stock of the things that are needed in the local marketplace, I think are going to thrive. I really do.
I can tell you, because of you, we're re-expanding our fishing reel line. Well, there's actually three companies that are causing me to expand the fishing reel line. I won't go into the other two, but you are definitely one of the three. Mm-hmm. And we're adding more of that back wall. We're going to bring that, we're taking away the t-shirts, we're going to put more reels in there. We're expanding the counters, bringing back more reels, and which I had said I didn't think we were going to. So do you see the fishing business going more internet, more box store, more independent?
I think the independents that are strong and keep inventory will thrive. But it's pretty easy to sit around in your jammies at the house and order something on the internet. And I'm guilty of it. I order a lot of things on the internet. but it's because I can't find them locally most of the time.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm an anomaly or not.
The hurricane taught me the value of buying from a local store or local box store. Mm-hmm. I don't know what I would have done without Lowe's or even Home Depot. Without Publix. Now, I shop at Publix, but Winn-Dixie, Aldi's. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've got Winn-Dixie, Aldi's. You've got these grocery stores that if people start buying online, if they go away, where do you go in an emergency? Where do you go when you need somebody? What would I have done without Lowe's? I boarded up my windows because of Lowe's. Mm-hmm. And Home Depot, I got stuff there. The Ace Hardware in downtown Punta Gorda is an astounding place. When I needed to really fix something, I went in there the other day. Amazing folks at that Ace Hardware downtown Punta Gorda.
And they know the local construction, too, and what you might, you know, they have things for local houses that have been around a while.
I'm actually, you know, convinced now we need to look, as you said, and get stuff at a local level. Forget our store. Forget the fishing stuff. This is not about that. This is about general things you need. Try to find somebody in your area that's selling them and keep them in business, because what happens if you need them?
Right.
You know, ordering on the internet will be here in 2 days, and the storm's going to be here in 2 days.
Right.
It's not coming, folks. You know, but, you know, I think the consensus is what we're going to lose out of the fishing market is a lot of the box stores.
Yeah.
That seems to be the consensus. Well, it seems like it's going to be kind of the independent retailers. And the internet is where things are more moving.
Well, and most of the box stores have pretty strong online purchasing opportunities too. So, you know, I won't mention any names because I want to.
Walmart is fine. Yeah. Walmart does. I mean, yeah. I quit fighting with Walmart a long time ago.
That
war is fought and worked to a draw. Mm-hmm. We each have our corner. We each have our place in the world, because I'm not in every town.
Right.
We're not in every town. I can't recreate this everywhere. And so I understand if you're living in some place and you go down to Walmart, maybe there isn't a store locally that can help you. And you have to go to Walmart.
That's true. I mean, there's a ton of communities. I mean, I just moved over from Orlando, and honestly, as big a city as Orlando is, there's really only one tackle store left.
Yeah.
You know, you've got a Bass Pro on one end and a Gander that I don't know if they're going to keep open on the other end. But we've done that to ourselves by buying, you know, by not supporting that local guy. There's not as many stores left in some of these areas. So, and Orlando's a big city. I use that as an example.
But Walmart definitely fills a place in the marketplace. And I hated to admit that, but you know, you get older, you get reflective, and you're looking and saying, yeah, that's it. All right. Here's the last actual question we're going to ask. And that is, what do you like most about your job?
I taught school for a few years in my life. And being here today and being able to share with your employees, going to a promotion, you know, sometimes the hours are grueling and everything else, but I love to talk about the product, show people, and then have them smile when they go up to the cash register and buy it, because they bought what they were really looking for. Or have your guys know a little bit more about the product so they're comfortable selling.
So you can explain what you were doing here today. You were coming here to teach. We are reforming an alliance with Shimano. We are coming back on board, and Shimano's coming back on board with us. Anybody who knows me knows if it's not a two-way street, it doesn't work at all. I don't want things good for me and not good for the factory. I don't want things good for the factory and not good for me. Okay. I like it when we all work together. I mean, for as much of a growly old pain in the butt as I am, that's my goal, is to have us both equally beneficial. And you're here to teach our guys about the Shimano products, bring us up to speed, get us up to date on the new stuff Shimano's doing and how they're making and designing their products for the fishermen.
Correct. And it was, you guys, we did it during the middle of the day so that the morning shift and the afternoon shift were both here, and we got the most people here I possibly could. The guys and girl were very attentive. Everybody was...
Don't forget the Cuban Rican, you know?
That's right, that's right.
Yeah, a little jalapeno popper.
Yeah, she'll get you.
She said she was your token, You know, yeah.
She, Queen Bee.
There, yeah, I know. Well, and she got rewarded, too. I gave her, because she was my helper, so I gave her one of the prizes that we gave out today. Yeah. So, but no, like I said, the guys were you know, it helped. It, you know, when manufacturers come in and do stuff like this, and the consumer, I mean, and the dealer's employees feel more comfortable with the product, they're more likely to talk about
it. Well, you know, like in the reality is, we had a lot to catch up on with Shimano. We haven't been keeping up for the last couple of years, but with this new alliance between us and the manufacturer, it's. I want my guys to know everything they can to give the best possible information they can.
Right, and then let the consumer make a choice. And if, you know, we're making, if our product's what's right for them, then your guys are going to sell it to them. If it's not, it, you know, so I'm comfortable with that.
Okay. Any last thing you want to ask, Danny?
No, I just really appreciate you taking the time and making the paperwork available to us so we could actually stand there and actually physically see it while you were explaining it. And it also gives us something as a cheat sheet basically later on down the road, like to reflect back on and stay educated on it. So, well, it's just very nice of you to do that.
And just so Shimano is aware, having catalogs this year has been a really, really big deal.
I am
at
so
all of
sick
my dealers.
Of people who hand me the catalog on a thumb drive or a CD or something. I literally throw them in the garbage.
Yeah.
I can go on the internet and look them up. Why? I actually take
the
thumb
right
drives
on
and erase
site.
Them and use them for my own stuff.
Oh, I've gotten into a couple stores that actually gave me the time of day because I had a catalog for them and I could actually talk to them for a few minutes, where before it's like, you don't have a catalog, I don't need you. I mean, they were joking, but only half joking.
Well, the problem with it is that, okay, yeah, that's fine and dandy for me to have that thumb drive, but now I've got to take it back into the office or back home, put it into my computer, sit down by it and look through it, versus if you walk in, you start explaining to me about one of these new reels or a change to an old reel, you have it right there in the catalog right in front of me. We don't have to stop
and
walk
and go
away.
Over it with the customer.
Right.
Well, and I think I admitted to your people today, I don't have all the line retrieves measured. I mean, memorized.
Why not?
I don't have all the line capacities memorized.
We're not
going to
talk about age, Robert.
You don't have the pounds of drag memorized, too?
I do not.
And none of us do, but having that catalog right there on the spot, because
the
tackle shops, you've got water. You're in Florida. You've got humidity. It's not like electronics last very long. Plus, you've got, let's face it,
especially in this
customers
place.
And employees that are not exactly really good with holding on to stuff. It gets dropped and knocked off a counter. It breaks. Having a catalog hit the floor doesn't do anything.
Right. You might get a little shrimp juice on it if it's in the tank.
So that's absolutely amazing. But I really do appreciate just taking the time.
No, thank you for having me.
Here's the last thing. Any thoughts? Final thoughts?
No, I just, again, I really appreciate you and Robert giving us the opportunity to build a relationship in here again. I know Shimano had kind of slid out of your stream of consciousness a little bit, and over the years,
we went to war.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
A lot of changes. And
the good thing is, when you can disagree with somebody, have differences, work them out, and get back, and everybody meets in the middle, it's an amazing thing, and that's the thing you should always look forward into in life.
No, and I want to reiterate something you said earlier. You know, everybody, you have a reputation, but I have, as long as I've known you, you have. Seriously, he wasn't just joking earlier, people. He does enjoy a good little spirited debate, but then he'll sit, you know, we'll sit down and have a beer or something like that. There's nothing wrong with a difference of opinion between two people if they can respectfully, yeah, just respect each other's opinions. And sometimes he and I don't agree on things, but, you know, it's never caused a rift in our relationship just because we don't agree on everything.
But, so anyway, this has been Danny, and he is our Don Coffee guy, who pretty much, for practical purposes in Southwest Florida, is Shimano. That's who you guys deal with. That's what you work. And it's a good thing, and we're really looking forward to a new relationship. We're remodeling. We're going to be doing an order with him. We're going to be bringing in a lot of new Shimano products this year and coming back and hopefully going bigger, better, and stronger than ever. Mm-hmm. So any last thoughts, guys?
Nope.
Just thanks for having me.
Okay, well, as the sliding guitar notes depict, this is probably the end of the show, and it's probably about time. You know, sometimes get a little too long-winded, but this is our attempt at getting you to know the people that we deal with and have you understand why we buy what we buy, who we buy from, and bring you more into part of what we do. So thanks for putting up with us. We'll catch you on the next Radio Fishing. Bye, y'all. Robert.
Bye, Robert.